Okay, Isaiah 64. Okay, so not only does Isaiah tell the Jews about the Messiah coming, and about the future of everything, tells us all that, what's coming up in the future, future. But he also has a very good appraisal or description of us.
Amen.
In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Now, there are some things that we have to acknowledge. Like we've learned that if we acknowledge the truth, it just seems like God will really step into your lives and really show you some things out of that truth. Well, boy, here's something that a lot of people don't like to admit. They've been brought up since they're little as being just the cutesiest little people and the funnest little kids to be around, and grandpa and grandma loves them to death, and they're just special, and we get them things, and we take them places, and we do all these marvelous things. And then sometime in their life, they find out that somebody says to them that their works are like filthy rags. And most of the kids today just go, well, I haven't been taught that. I don't think that's true. That preacher doesn't like me. That preacher's picking on me. Or the parents say, that pastor's picking on my kids or whatever. But Isaiah says in verse 6 of chapter 64, you all got that there? But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now this fall, when the winds come and the cold comes, what's going to happen? The leaves are going to fall down. I've already got my office smelling like the fall with the, I couldn't wait. I put in the cinnamon stuff and the whole deal. I like the fall. But yet what's happening? The leaves are dying. When they fall off the tree, wind comes up, and where do the leaves go? Next door. That's what's nice. And that's what's nice about living out here. We don't have a next door. So our leaves blow away. If I could just get rid of these trees right here, we wouldn't have any leaves around here swirling in the sidewalk, front door area. So what happens? Those leaves, I mean, they had a great summer. Have you noticed some of your leaves? I mean, they're when they first bud out, they're just so pretty. Look at those cute little buds. And then they get a little bigger, and they're just green as convenient. And you take one off, and you tear it in half, and you put it in your mouth, and it just honks so beautifully. So beautifully. And by the end of the summer, they fall off the tree and they blow away. And if you pick one of those leaves up, what can you do with it? It just turns it into dust. And that's it. One year. Not even a year. And this is what it says here. Our righteousnesses, that's the stuff that we do as an unsaved person, as you kids are growing up, are as filthy rags. You ever seen filthy rags? I mean, filthy, not just dirty, but filthy is dirtier than dirty. As filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. So, back in these days, these people just, they were just dirty people. And their works just didn't cut it for them. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 8, we're not, as I think about it, we're kind of bunny trailing this for a little bit, but Isaiah started this bunny trail by telling us that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Romans chapter 8, verse 8, remember that, 8:8, verse 8 of chapter 8, says that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why can we not please God? It's because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, if you kids got up every morning to put on the same old dirty, scroungy, rotten, lousy dress or pants, it's in Zach's case, I hope, forever, your mom will not be too happy after about a week or two. I mean, you can wear a pair of jeans or a jean skirt or something for a couple of days. That's what's nice about jean material. You know, you can get it pretty dirty, nobody knows. Right? But after a while, it gets pretty smelly. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You keep doing something in the dirt, and you're just not going to please your mom and dad. But then he says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And that's what we pray in some days, that you kids will have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. At this point, you're just a little child in God's eyes, that he's not holding those things accountable. Your parents are. Have you noticed that, Danica? And Olivia, I mean, your parents hold you accountable for stuff. Don't say to them, hey, God's not paying any attention, so why are you? God is paying attention. He just doesn't hold the law or the laws or the rules to you yet. He's trusting your parents to do it for you. So, what happens? Look at Romans chapter 1. Greatly looking forward to the fair booth. Believe it or not, Jerry, only when Pete shows up. You can have the rest of them. Going to take Pete to here. Oh, okay. And Pete was talking about how he thinks people are just all sinners. He said that. That was pretty good. But he said that they all still are good people. Yeah, I'm not going to get into it with them there with all the other guys there, but it says right here in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You are born with that conscience, with that information right there that God puts in everybody. And somewhere along the line, you get it taught out of you. That's what happens. Which is why it's important for you to come and pay attention and listen. Because then the world is trying to take what God put in you. He's trying to get rid of that out of your mind. He's trying to cover it up and bury it so you don't think about it when you get older. When you get older, what happens? Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And this is where some of you kids are at, you little kids are at right now. It says in verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. You don't have the law being accounted to you yet. Isn't that nice? It'd be like me having the policeman call me up and say, hey, listen, on every third Thursday on the month, we will not hold the speeding laws to you. What would I do? I really should choose to still drive safely. I just think I can drive 100 miles an hour safely. I can. I think I very. So the other people around me, they get in the way. They don't believe this. I've learned to drive fast, safe. I've not had an accident yet, below 80. Anyway, he says in verse 9, for I was alive without the law once. See, that's where you're at. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, we don't die physically, we die spiritually. Now, what does this have to do with Isaiah? Isaiah says that all righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And unless we become saved, another term here in a minute, then you can't please God. And there comes a time in your life where you will die spiritually. And what needs to take place? Look at verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, which is what this Bible is, it shows us life, it still says, I found to be death. You will learn your Bible as you get older, and you will have to die. Although this Bible, what God preaches and teaches us in this whole Bible, the New Testament and Paul and everything, that is the book of life, but it's also the book of death, because of it, we have to die, and then we'll live. Okay, now, I'll show you this here. So, if that's the case, and we're going to spiritually die, what do we need to do? And you're going to hear somebody tell you in your life, because you already hear it, they're going to say, well, you know what? Because you died, you need to be born again. And I'm going to tell you here this morning that that's not the right phrase. That is not correct. And we've talked about that here. We said, well, now what do we say to people if they don't need to be born again? What do we say? Here's what you say. Go to Romans chapter 8 again. We're still just on Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Now we already did that. Yeah, let's go back to verse 8 still. Most pastors and preachers and missionaries and Christians and stuff are going to say, well, yeah, it's just a phrase. We know it's okay. You die spiritually, so you do need to be born again. Well, we can't use a false phrase. It's not to us. We can't do that. It's not fair, and it confuses people. Yeah, where do we get that? We get that in John chapter 3. But by the way, don't read John chapter 3 as far as written to us. There's a lot of good stuff in there about Jesus himself, and so it's a marvelous book to read. But don't go there to grow as a Christian. But let's go there to be born again. Why is that? And even the phrase born again is not to an individual, it's to a nation. He said unto Nicodemus, I say unto thee, singular, ye, plural, must be born again. That's the nation of Israel. So why do we go there? Well, because what we're supposed to tell people is told us by Paul. And people do not want to hear what Paul has to say. And here's what Paul has to say. Romans chapter 8. Here's what we're going to tell people at the fair. If we ever get a chance to talk to anybody at the fair. Verse 8. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Okay? Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, here we go. The body is dead. The body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I'm looking at this now to where if we, you know, when we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, our body dies, and if it wasn't for the Spirit of God in us, our body would be dead. It would right there. That's why I believe that. Keep reading. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, the Spirit of God, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken is to be made alive. So you know what we need? We don't need to be born again. That's a Jewish term to Jews. We need to be what? Quickened. Made alive. We die. We need to be made alive. Oh, that's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing, because born again is in John and quickened is what Paul says. That's to me, that's the most important reason right there. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, because the flesh is dead, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And then it goes on. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. So what do we tell people? Well, first let's remind ourselves what Isaiah has to do with this. Is Isaiah is the guy that tells us that our righteousness... Now, by the way, do you kids realize that he calls those things righteousness? And they're not wrongnesses. They're righteousnesses. That means you're doing right things. But it's still dirty. It's still filthy rags because it still has everything to do with your flesh. Do you know you kids are attached to your flesh right now? You grow up and our flesh is, we're part of this whole thing. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you have he quickened. So you don't need to be born again, you need to be quickened. That's the phrase. Who were in trespasses and sins. There's going to come a time, kids, that you're going to realize that you're in trespasses and sins. Even if you obeyed your mother 100%. Like I figure Danica and Olivia anyway. Well, maybe Caitlin, in a minute. I don't know if you've obeyed your parents 100%, kids, have you? All the time? Yeah. You have? See, if that's the case, those righteousnesses are still filthy rags. When you get older, you're going to realize that, and you're going to realize that you're dead in trespasses and sins. Look at verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. We've all done this. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what's going on out there with unsaved people, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, past tense, for he loved us, he gave us his Son, and hath, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. With Christ. Born again? No. Quickened. Quickened. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Marvelous stuff, marvelous stuff. Now look at Colossians chapter 2, a couple pages to your right. Let's do one more place here. Now this is what you kids need to remember. There's going to come a time when you're going to die and you need to be quickened. Say the word for me, quickened. Quickened. That's what you need. Israel needed to be born again as a nation. You'll hear that, and that's they needed to be. That's fine. You need to be quickened someday. Need to be quickened. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Here we go. Here's how this happens. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that's Christ. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Here you go. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. So that the filthy rags of righteousness, which is what our flesh has done, we need to be cut away from that. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism as a spiritual baptism, we know that, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, there it is, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And it just goes on and on and on. So when Isaiah tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags, he's right. It's because our works that we do, we've done in the flesh, and we cannot please God in the flesh. That's as simple as that. And do we need to be born again? No, we need to be quickened. We need to be made alive. Remember that. And that'll come back to you as time goes. Marvelous stuff. I've always disliked that born again thing. And why has it always been a problem? Because everybody uses it. If everybody uses it, there's something wrong with it. The Pentecostals use it, the Catholics use it. The definition is different. Born again as a Catholic is to join the Catholic Church, but they still use the phrase. Rick Warren, everybody uses that phrase born again. That tells me there's something wrong. What's the word? Quickened. We need to be quickened. We need to be made alive. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's go back to Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter 40. And I hope your parents remember that because I don't expect you guys to. You kids, you're doing good to remember your fingerings for your recorder. So I'll trust your parents to remember that and talk to you about it more and more. Get out your concordance and type up the word quicken it, and come up with your own little home Bible study, and that's what your kids need to know. And that'll get them in the right part of the book at the right time when the time comes, and they'll just jump right over and they won't even fight you. They shouldn't. Remember, we're born with all the stuff we need to know about the Godhead. That's not just information about God. That's everything. And somewhere along the line, we lose it. We're seared. It's taken away. It's retaught differently. Or it's been given such a bad testimony the kids don't want it when the time comes or whatever. So we're without excuse. But we tend to lose it when we're children. Keep that in mind. Okay, Isaiah chapter 40. Just a quick little thing here for bird night here, if anybody wants to do this. Isaiah is the one that comes up with the, that's Ezekiel. Oh, I'm sweating again because I don't see anything about eagles in Ezekiel chapter 40. That's because it's in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30. There we go. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's something you'll turn to someday when you really need to get some strength. You'll just, where do you turn? Where do you turn? How do you turn to the Lord today? What's that? Okay, that's where you go to find the verse about turning to the Lord. Be like an eagle. But where do we go to turn to God? Do you have to go to church to turn to God? Do you have to mow the lawn for pastor when he's not feeling good? Do you have to go over and do the gravel driveway for the birds? Harvest the crops because Louie's in bed with three broken legs? That's what it would feel like. How do you turn to God? Obey your parents? Fix dinner? Buy me chocolate? I mean, what do you do to turn to God? Go to school with Dad at night when he is exhausted and willing to kill in seconds? You turn to God by looking to your Bible. So that's how you be the eagle. Okay, let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Some more from this guy named Isaiah. Isaiah 55. I wonder if ever this will be you, your kids. I mean, you get up in the morning and you get, this is Sunday school, so we're kind of picking on the kids. You get up in the morning and you're just raring to go. Some of us get up in the morning and there's some things we have to do. One of them is, I have to get a drink of something. Mostly because you're laying in bed and your mouth is like 4 feet wide and you're drooling and all the moisture is gone by morning. And your throat is sore, and you made all this noise, and every ounce of moisture in your mouth is all over your pillow. Does anybody ever do that around here? So what's the first thing you got? I mean, you got to replenish this drinking thing up here. You are thirsty. You're majorly thirsty. I don't think anybody gets up. Oh boy, oatmeal. We don't have any milk. Oh, that's okay. Oatmeal tastes so good. You just poured it. You don't do that. Ever had malted meal without milk? It's just grape nuts. Go out there and stuck it in the driveway. I mean, it's the same thing. Look at Isaiah 55. And look at the first word. Ho! See, that's the correct one. Three hoes is not good. One ho is good. Ho! Every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Well, we do that a lot today. That doesn't it? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. I like that. I have to remind you kids again, because I'm sure some of you at home and your parents talk about how fat your pastor, just ended, your pastor's getting. Just so you know, that is my soul expanding. Your soul is going to expand someday, Scott. Trust me. This whole thing is because of Bible reading. And you thought I was eating too much. I'm reading too much is what it is. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. You ever heard that before? Your parents say to you, hey, listen to me, and you'll stay alive. That's kind of what parents, that's what they tell you those things for. Listen to me, and you don't go play in the street. That's because they don't want you to get hit by a truck or a car. This is talking about your soul. Incline your ear, hello, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither. You ever seen snow go back up? It does in moisture, but you don't see it snowing up. You just don't see that. And returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it forth, and bud, bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Oh, it goes on. It just goes on. Those are some good things. Now look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. They need to quit doing what they're doing. But some that can be us, too. We need to forsake the way we go. This is why we're maybe going to get into Timothy today. This is one thing that we can read that will teach your mom and dad how to forsake the way of pleasing the world or pleasing ourselves and pleasing God. So we're working on that. And then let's look here to Isaiah 65. There's a lot of stuff in there that you'll understand as you get older, but these are Isaiah's pretty good guy to read. A lot of stuff in there that we do not necessarily understand at all yet. But now here's some easy things easy to understand. Isaiah 65, verse 17. Now, let's see. Let me ask a question here. Caitlin, Amanda, and Danica, and Olivia, and I suppose Zach, too. Do you like to go shopping? Olivia, good answer. Oh, Marcy, such a good answer. You do like, I figured you like to go shopping. We didn't get that out of him, though. Danica, you like to go shopping? Yeah, look at the smile. I mean, it's like I called Sunday school off or something here. Amanda, you like to go shopping? Why? She'd like to get new things. Whoa! Where do you go? Oh, that's right. You're Costco people, aren't you? Yeah. When you've ever gone to the grocery store with your mom, does she look for used boxes of cereal? She does? With it's already opened up and everything? No, they're all sealed and they're brand new. And it's nice to get new things. Now, there are those of us that like to go to junk sales, otherwise known as garage sales, or rummage, or garbage sales, or whatever. You don't find many new things there, but it's new to you. You got plenty, Libby, you got plenty of clothes? Caitlin? Danica? You got plenty of clothes, right? Why do you need more clothes? Because you just, should I ask? You got plenty of clothes?
See? Yeah, you just bought them.
That's okay. We like to give stuff. Now look at verse 17. You want something new? Here is something new.
Bible?
Even newer. This will be newer. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Wow. All the junk that's down here in this earth, the goat head seed thing that's floating around in the street because the kid across the street doesn't know how to pick them, and the weeds in your fields, and the rocks, and all the stuff. I can't say rocks, and kids like to throw rocks, but new heavens and a new earth. See, this is why Isaiah is so exciting to read. We can read about what's coming down the path. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Wow. Makes me wonder, though. Was there ever a time before this? Because we don't know. And I figured, listen, if Frank can remember this stuff, it's gone. Party hardy? You're not going to remember it anyway. No, because what we're going to have in that time is based on today. That's the kicker. That kind of spoils that thing a little bit for our flesh anyway. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. I like that, filled his days. Our days are getting filled up, LD? Yeah. For the child shall die 100 years old. 100 years old is still a child. Wow. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards. Oh, Walla Walla will still exist. And eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. Oh, it goes on. Now, he's talking to the Jews here. He's talking to Israel, the God's people. Right? But now, Paul tells us that we get in on all that. We're reconciled with them. So, what do you got coming? Well, some of us have shots, pains, casts for a broken arm or something someday, maybe, you know. Maybe, Olivia, you're going to put the iron down on the ironing board, and you're going to forget that your hand is underneath the little thing that you're ironing, and burn hand, or what are you going to do? You know, Danica, you might walk around playing your recorder trip and stick it right up your throat out of the back of your head. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen to us. But beyond all this life, it's going to be all brand new. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. But see, you got to come to the realization that your righteousness is filthy rags, and there's going to come a day when God's going to work in your heart and tell you that you died. And you're going to know it. I really believe you're going to know it. And you need to be quickened. And if you become quickened and made alive, because you're going to die, you're going to come alive, then this whole future is yours because of what Christ has done for us. Marvelous. This is marvelous, exciting stuff. Look at verse 24. How are you doing reading? Are you keeping up with me at all a little bit this morning, reading? Are you getting better at the reading thing? Look at verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Before they call. You ever walked up to your telephone and picked it up and said, hello? That dinner rings? The Lord? They got to call first. But he's going to, says right here, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. That's the way it's going to be. If you kid, do you hear the coyotes at night? Yeah. Pretty spooky, kind of. What if your mom and dad said, come on into the kitchen for a minute, kids, and they took a bunch of hamburger out and they stuffed it in your pockets and they just smeared all over your body and your head and your hair and just all that kind of stuff. Then they said, come on, we're going to go for a ride. You know where we're going with this? And they take you down and you hear those coyotes? And they shove you out the door and drive away. Do you know what's going to happen to you in seconds? You're going to be coyote dinner. But there's going to be a day where that isn't going to happen. You can walk out there. We can be walking through the woods. Try it. If I get to go hunting with the birds, because nobody else is around to take me anymore, if I get to go hunting with the birds, and here comes this bear walking down the road, really mad because I threw a rock at the little cub. Because you're not supposed to do that. Mamas get mad when you pick on their kids. I've learned that. And you say, oh, well, hi, Mama Bear. You look just like my little teddy bear I had when I was a little girl. And you walk up to the bear like this. What do you think's going to happen? Oh, hug me, bear. What do you think's going to happen? You're going to be torn into little smithereens, in little slivers or whatever that stuff is. But it won't be that way in those days. For one thing, your parents won't be smearing you in meat in those days either. Anyway, look at chapter 66, verse 10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, and all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied to the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, when peace like a river, na 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 na, it is well. And the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream, then shall ye suck, ye shall be born upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforteth. Oh, it's going to be so great. Look at verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. You either going to be with God or you're not, and if you're not with God, it's going to be the absolute most terrifying, horriblest thing you can't even humanly imagine how horrible it will be, and it will be forever. So it's best to be quickened when the time comes. Now look at Isaiah, look at Ephesians chapter 2. What does Paul tell us about what's coming up down the road? Because here we're reading Isaiah, and this Isaiah guy, he was talking to God's people in the Old Testament days. Now, we know that we're reconciled with them, so what they've got, we've got coming with them. But let's just turn to Paul just for a minute here and see what he says. Does he tell us anything about the future? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. What does he say? Well, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Pete was talking about there has to be a way to have peace in the world. Pete, here's how you have peace in the world. When Jesus Christ comes down and everything belongs to him, you'll have peace. That's the way it'll be. So there will be peace someday. There will be peace on this earth someday. But boy, it's going to be not brought by man. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Now here's another thing that's hard for you to understand at this point because of what we teach you when you're little. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 21, talking about the Lord that says, or the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's going to take our vile bodies. Now see, here's the problem. We're Americans, and we're not taught that our bodies are vile. We think that they're gorgeous. They're hunky. They're beautiful. They're shapely. Oh, they're exciting. They're vile. And vile is really, 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 really dirty, rotten, stinky smell. It's just, they're vile. And you know that. If you ever get a chance to see somebody who's died, you ever touch their body, you touch them on the cheek, kind of pat them on the cheek, pat them on the hand, and that's why kids need to go to a funeral and just touch them. It's like a rock. It's just cold. And the heat's on in the building and they're cold. That body is dead. You know what happens to that body in the next couple days? That's why they have to have the funerals pretty quickly. You can only spray plastic on them so long, and they start to smell. And stink, and it's just, they're vile, our bodies are vile. But he's going to change that someday, and we're going to be glorified like him. That's what he's going to do. Let's see, new earth, new heaven, new body. Can it get any better than that? Look at Romans chapter 8. Let's make sure that we're in on this, because I thought you said Isaiah was talking to God's people, the Jews as such. Yes, that's true. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Now here's something that's very, 16, something that's very important for us to get this here. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And this is taking us back to whether we have the Spirit of God in us or not. Whether we've been quickened or not. If you've been quickened when you get older, then it says here that we are children of God. Okay, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Be also glorified together. It'll be great stuff. So we will be part of what he has for his people. We're in on this. If you become perfect. Is it really going to be hard to do? How many have noticed that it's kind of hard, and you watch your parents, and they try to do right, and it's not always easy, so they say, anyway. Look at verse 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. There is absolutely such a marvelous time coming. No shots, no broken arms, no doctor visits, no almost car accidents, no tickets, no being hungry, no breaking a tooth, no going to the dentist. None of that stuff. No emergency room. I mean, there's just none of that stuff. It's going to be absolutely marvelous. But we just have to wait until that time comes. So we can certainly learn from Isaiah all about the things that God has prepared if we just get in there and read it and see. And if you can't read very well, here you go. Ask your parents, hey, can you read me some stuff out of Isaiah tonight? Okay, how about a verse or two? No, we need to. That's why kids need to learn to read. Read, get in that book and just read. That's how you turn to God. Read, read, read. See you in a couple minutes upstairs.